All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7. Now, in the very near future, you're going to see a new video on YouTube with Pastor Brian's name on it. And he's on to something here. He said that the other morning he got up to run, and he goes running every morning. I mean, running down the road, huh? Running, you know, with shoes on and everything. I know. He's trying to get me to go run with him. No way, no way, no way. If he runs by Dunkin' Donuts, he can bring me over a cup of coffee if he runs by Dunkin' Donuts. But other than that, no thanks. But anyway, he said that the other morning when he was out running that he saw the crescent moon and Venus sitting right in the crest of that, right in the heart of that. And so that means that all the babies born for the next month are going to be born with a hangnail. So he's going to start a new YouTube video and see how far it'll go. What do you think? He might be on something. Hey, look at all the hits these guys have with September 23rd. You don't know. Hey, go for it, Brian. You never know. Start a fundraiser. Get everybody send their money. Send their money to you. All right, let's look at Revelation 7. All right, let me read you some of this. If you remember from Sunday night, this is during the tribulation period. I think at the early. At the beginning of the tribulation, right after the rapture of the church, in my opinion, the Lord is going to call these 144,000 Jewish evangelists. Now, let me just say right from the start here, just go ahead and rattle the cage. These are not Jehovah's Witnesses. All right? These are not Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, just let me go ahead and tell you that. And if you, the next time one of them, you run into one of them and they tell you they're one of the 144,000, you just ask them which tribe of Israel they're from. Because according to the seventh chapter here, all of these evangelists, these 144,000, they are sealed Jews. They are Jewish. Okay? So you ask them what tribe they're from. See what they tell you. All right. So look at, please, verse 4. It says, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." All right, look at verse 5. He says, of the tribe of, what's the first one? Judah. All right. Now, the next one is of the tribe of Reuben. And then it just keeps going down. And if you will look down, please, at number 8. It says, of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. All right, now watch this. It says, and after this, in verse 9, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations. All nations. All. All means all. Okay, so these 144,000 are going to go to the four corners of the earth, and they are going to preach the gospel of Christ. And they're going to win a great multitude of people to the Lord. From all nations, people of all kindreds, people from everywhere, all people, and tongues that speak all languages. And John said that he beheld this great multitude standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, palm branches in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb." All right, so here is a description of the 144,000. All right, let's pray, and then I'll tell you, give you just a brief introduction to tell you what we're going to do tonight, and then I will give you the question. We're going to look at one, two, three, four, maybe four, if we have time, four questions tonight, and try to answer them. All right, so not long answers, but it'll take up all of our time. Probably get three of them done for sure. All right, let's pray, and then we'll continue. Father, we ask now your blessings upon us as we look at your word. I pray that you will give us understanding of the scriptures tonight. This is an amazing book, and Father, I pray that as we open its pages and look into its truths, I pray that you will just give us your mind and your understanding, and Father, teach and instruct our hearts tonight. Thank you for our people who read and study the Word, and Father, they notice little things. They notice certain things that puzzle them, and so Lord, they've asked the questions, and I pray now that you will bless as I try to give the answers. So give us your mind, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, tonight I want us to take a look at a couple of questions. The answers are not going to take long, I don't think, but there's some interesting questions, and I hope you have your Bible, because I want to take you back into the Old Testament and show you some things that I think will be helpful and will be a blessing to you. These questions were sometimes asked by one person, and then a couple of them were asked by a couple of people over the summer. And so I began to wonder, as I got the questions, that maybe if it was something that was said in a sermon, maybe something that was said in another study, that prompted the question to be asked. I don't know, but I will try to answer the questions for you. Aren't you looking forward to that day when you get to heaven and all of your questions are going to be answered? Paul said that we will know the answers one of these days. I'm looking forward to that time when we will know the answers to the questions. I remember one time when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I had a Wilson baseball mitt, baseball glove, Wilson baseball glove. It was a good baseball glove. And I left it on the handlebars of my bicycle. And I left my bicycle outside. And it rained that night. And then the next morning, I had to get up and go to school. And so it sat in the hot sun, and it dried out. And when it did, it began to shrink, and that glove was ruined. And so printed on the pinky finger of that baseball glove, it said, "Genuine leather." And so when you get genuine leather wet, it shrinks. And so I was wondering, when I drove by later on that week and I saw a bunch of cows outside, why don't they shrink when they get wet? You know, I got a lot of questions, don't you? That's my point. I've got a lot of questions about things, and it's going to be good to one day get to heaven and know all the answers. But I don't guess that's one that can be answered, at least not biblically. But anyway, here's the question that was asked tonight. The question was, why in Revelation 7? And I will tell you more about that in just a moment, but why in Revelation 7 was Dan, the tribe of Dan, and the tribe of Ephraim left out of Revelation 7? And that is a good question. That question has, it has split churches. Yep, it has split churches. Created volumes and volumes of pointless literature that has been written to explain what happened to the tribes of Dan and Ephraim when in relation to the calling of the 144,000 that will be used of God during the tribulation period. All right, so in this chapter, the Lord seals 144,000 Jews and sends them across the world to preach the gospel of Christ. Through their witness, there will be an untold number of people won to the Lord during that 7 years, during that 7 year period. Now, folks, just stop and think about it. There are 8 billion people on the planet today. Now, let that number sink into you. There are 340 or thereabouts million people in America. All right, just let these numbers sink in. I know it's difficult for you to grasp, but would you just think about going to New York City for a minute? All right, erase that. Think about going to Los Angeles for a minute. Erase that. All right, think about going to Washington, D.C. for a minute. All right, traffic, is that what you're thinking? You're thinking, do I have to drive? All right, wall to wall people. And there's 325 or 340 million in America. All right, 1.4 billion in China. 1.2 billion in India. Anybody ever been to India? Anybody ever been there? Boy, you get off a plane there, you are lost in a sea of humanity. People everywhere. I don't care what city it is. You go to China, I had a map when I went to China, and I'm sitting there looking at the map, trying to figure out where we were. And I asked one of the drivers, I said, what was that town we just went through? And they told me the name of the town, and I'm looking on the map, and I know I'm in the general area where we were. And I said, oh, there it is. And it's just this little itty-bitty tiny dot. And this little itty-bitty letter, you had to hold it, you know, get it in the right focal to read it, you know. I got 3 focals up here in my glasses. I don't know how many you got, but I got to get it in the right focal to see it. And I'm sitting there trying to see this and trying to, and here's this little tiny dot, this little tiny name, and there's 3 million people in that town. And it's just one little tiny dot, 3 million people in that town. Are you listening? 8 billion people on this planet, folks. How many of them know the Lord? Oh, not that many at all. You're right, Marjorie. Hardly, very few. You say, well, Pastor, if the Lord comes back, are all these people doomed? No. That's why the Lord is going to call these missionaries, these evangelists, to go into the world and preach the gospel of Christ. Now, you just think of the masses in India. Think of the masses in China and in Russia and the millions and millions in the rest of Asia. Who is going to tell these folks the truth of God's word? Who's going to tell them the gospel? Who is going to preach the gospel to these people? Well, the Lord is going to call 144,000 Jewish evangelists, 12,000 from each of these tribes that are listed here in chapter 7. Now, the question is asked, why was the tribe of Dan not mentioned in this list? All right? Now, everybody look at me, okay? I'm going to be just as honest as I can be. All right, here we go. I'm not sure I know the answer. Okay? I'm serious. I'm not sure that I know the answer to that question. I'm not sure that we can know the answer to that question because no answer is given. But can I give you a theory? All right? A theory? This is an idea. I'm not sure, but it makes a little bit of sense. And so I hope you can follow me. I'm not going to take the time. Well, yeah, I am. Hold your place right here. All right. I don't want y'all to think I'm making all this up. Go to Ezekiel 48. Ezekiel 48. Hold your place in Revelation. Go to the end of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 48. All right, now, everybody got it? Look at me. What I'm about to read to you is Ezekiel's vision of the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom. All right? All right, everybody look. You with me on that? The millennium. Remember, rapture, that's next. The rapture of the church, where the believers are taken to heaven. Then ruin, the tribulation period, where judgment is cast upon the earth. The church is raptured. We're in heaven. But here on the earth, the world will have to face God in his wrath. All right, so rapture, ruin. Rapture, Revelation 4. Ruin, Revelation 6 through 18. Then return, that's the second coming. That's when Jesus comes back with his raptured church. Revelation 19. All right, everybody with me? And then reign. R-E-I-G-N, reign, the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. So rapture, ruin, return, reign, that's chapter 20 of Revelation. And then 21 and 22, restoration, new heaven, new earth. Okay, now what Ezekiel saw here in chapter 48 was the millennial division of the kingdom. And in that kingdom, the 12 tribes of Israel are going to play a part. So Ezekiel is way, 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 way back here in the Old Testament. And yet he had a vision of the millennial kingdom of Christ. And that's what chapter 48 is. Everybody understand that? All right, now look at verse 1. In his vision, here's what he says. Now these are the names of the tribes. From the north end to the coast of the way of Hethlon, as one goeth to Hamath, Hazaranan, to Hamath, the border of Damascus, northward to the coast of Hamath. For these are his sides, east and west, a portion for who? Okay, now watch. The Ezekiel is for the millennium, right? And Dan is there, right? But for the tribulation, when Revelation 7 takes place, when the 144,000 are called, there is no Dan, right? Everybody with me? I'm not trying to trip you. I'm trying to show you something, all right? So there is no Dan there, all right? Even though Dan is mentioned in the millennial kingdom just 7 years later, Dan is not here during the tribulation. Now, why would that be? What could possibly be the explanation? Well, again, I cannot say with absolute certainty, but this could be the reason. You see, Dan was the first tribe to lapse into idolatry once the children of Israel got into the land. They were the first tribe to go into idolatry once the children of Israel got into the land of Canaan. Go back to Judges 18 for just a minute. Judges chapter 18. You remember under Joshua, they came in and they filled up the land. And then you had the period of the judges. And under Joshua, they did not do what God commanded them to do. God said, slay utterly. And they didn't do it. And so now under Judges, here they are divided into their proportionate regions and living among the Canaanites. And what happened was eventually Israel, you remember Hosea? Israel became Canaan. Hosea, the prophet Hosea, his whole argument was eventually Israel became Canaan. That was his whole argument. All right, but in chapter 18, look at verse 30. It says, and the children of Dan set up a graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set up Micah's graven image, which he made at that time, that he made all that time that the house of God was in Shiloh. All right, so they were the first of the tribes to go into idolatry. This was the doing, and God made it very clear that this was the doing of the tribe of Dan. Now, go back to Deuteronomy 29 for just a minute. Deuteronomy 29, just a couple of books back. Deuteronomy 29. Look at verse 18 in Deuteronomy 29. I'm just going to read you what God says. In verse 18, well, let's go back to 17. He said, all right, let's go back to 14, get the whole sentence, all right? All right, look at verse 14. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. Parentheses, for ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations. You've seen it, God says. God is speaking here to the people through Moses, and he says, you've seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Close parentheses. Now, listen carefully. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe like Dan, you with me? Okay. Whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel. Are you listening? According to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the book of the law. So, folks, this is a pretty strong warning, if you ask me. This is a strong warning to the tribes, to the people of the tribes, not to forsake God and not to abandon him. But in the 7 years of tribulation, some things are going to happen to the nation of Israel. Now, when the tribulation starts, Dan is not, it's like Dan didn't even exist. It's like Dan's not even there. All the other tribes are called by name, and 112,000 out of each tribe are called, but yet the tribe of Dan has nothing. They have nothing. Could it be that because of their idolatry and because they were the first one, and God points out to us in Judges 18:31 that throughout Dan's history, they never repented of this. They just went into idolatry almost immediately, and they never came back. And God judged him for it. Could it be? I think very well it could be. All right? Now, you say, but Pastor, in the millennial division, they're there. Yes, they are. 7 years earlier, they weren't there, but now they are. You say, well, what's going to happen? What will go on here? Well, turn to Romans. Chapter 11, let me show you. Romans 11. And you notice how patient I'm being waiting on you to find it. You notice? Because I want you to get this now. I want you to see this. Everybody with me? Are you following me? Bill, you getting all this? All right, this was your question. It's a good one. I don't know where you came up with it, but you messed up my whole week. That's all I've got done. You just messed me up all week. That's all I got done. All right, look at your Bible. Romans 11, are you there? All right, now, Romans 9 is Israel in the past. Okay? Won't you just write that over top of Romans 9? Just write Israel in the past. Romans 9. Israel in the past. Romans 10 is Israel in the present. And then when you read Romans 9, you'll go, oh, that's Israel in the past. Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Then chapter 10 is Israel present. All right? And then chapter 11 is Israel in the future. So look at chapter 11 and look at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Again, God never endorses ignorance. Never. We ought to know some stuff. We got a Bible, and if we'd read it, we would know some stuff. For I would not, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. What mystery? The mystery of Israel. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. All right, now, what's the fullness of the Gentiles? That's back here before the rapture, the church age. The Gentile church age. All right, you with me? Okay, so Paul said right now Israel's blinded per se. Not all of them. There are some Jews who have their eyes wide open. There are some saved, born again Jews. All right, but he said that that blindness in part will continue until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now watch. So once the rapture happens, once the fullness of the Gentiles is complete, verse 26, and so all Israel shall be what? Saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. All right, so, Pastor, if Dan is in the millennial kingdom, but not in the 144,000, why not? Well, probably because Dan was the first one to go into idolatry, and folks, when God says, don't do it, and you do it, and God says, if you do it, I'm going to spank you, and then you get spanked, you have no argument. But then God says that during this time, all Israel will be saved, and Dan is a part of Israel. So the Dan, tribe of Dan, will ultimately have their eyes opened. And with eyes open, we'll have a part in the division of the world during the millennium. Got it? Got it? You're welcome. Now don't do that again. I'm kidding you. Does that make sense? All right, it does. It did to me. All right. Hope it does to you. All right, we got time for one more, I think. Ooh, let me show you this. All right, let me show you this. All right, go back to Revelation 7. Are you still there? Oh, mercy. I just about forgot this part. All right. Notice in verse 5. Notice that Judah is first. Right? Did you notice that? Even though Judah was the fourth son of Jacob, he is listed first. He was mentioned first by John. You remember he was given the blessing by his father instead of the blessing being given to the firstborn Reuben. Now you say, well, Pastor, what did Reuben do? Well, you remember that story. All right, we dealt with that a couple of weeks ago. Hold your place here in Revelation again. Go back to 1 Chronicles. Let me make sure I got the right chapter. 1 Chronicles 5. 1 Chronicles 5. I'll wait on you. All right, so here's the question. While you're turning, here's the question. Okay, where was Dan? We answered that one. All right, next question, where's Ephraim? All right, where was Ephraim? All right, let's look at this one. All right, everybody got it? 1 Chronicles 5. This is all the begats, you know. In 1 Chronicles, all the begats. First 11 chapters of 1 Chronicles, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. Remember all that? All right, so verse 1 of chapter 5. Now the sons of Reuben, the, what's the next word? Firstborn of Israel, parentheses, for he was the firstborn. But, what'd he do? Well, for as much as he defiled his father's bed. You remember, he slept with his father's concubine. Remember that? You sorry little thing. But he did it. And he got found out. All right? He defiled his father's bed. Because of that, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, the son of Jacob. All right? So Reuben, because of his sin, he lost his birthright. And Joseph's two boys, Manasseh and Ephraim, they got his portion. Reuben got nothing. He basically got kicked out of the family. All right? He got nothing. All right? Now look at it. The sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. Israel is Jacob. Now watch. And, all right, so we had a but now we've got an and. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. You say, well, what's that mean? That means that don't try to trace the Messiah through the birthright. Because the birthright, it goes through the blessing. The birthright got switched here because of sin. And it's now going to go through the blessing. You remember that Esau, or Jacob, robbed Esau of both the blessing and the birthright. Remember that? Okay? So it says, not to be reckoned after the birthright. 4, verse 2, Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, the prince, the Messiah. But the birthright was Joseph's. Okay, so who was Joseph's two sons? Manasseh and Ephraim. All right, so the blessing goes through Judah, not through Joseph. Everybody got that now? So that's what he did. And you'll notice here it says that Judah prevailed. Now, folks, we talked about Judah a couple of weeks ago. I'm telling you, the point is these people were just a bunch of barnyard animals. I mean, basically, they're heathens. They were awful. They lived like animals. It is a miracle that they survived. It's a miracle. You remember God came down to Moses one time and he said, Moses, that's it. I've had it. I'm going to wipe them all out. Well, Moses, you remember? Moses said, no, God, please don't do that. What are we going to tell our neighbors? What are we going to tell everybody? That you wiped everybody out. Well, my goodness. Can you imagine when God looks down at America today? Can you imagine? Can you imagine when God looks at North Korea? When God looks at Venezuela? When God looks at communist China? When God looks at America? Can you imagine? You talk about violation. I mean mercy. That's what we need. Mercy. That's what we're getting. Mercy. Now, I got a question for you. How bad must the rest of these scoundrels been? I'm talking about Levi and Simeon. And how bad must all the rest of them have been if Judah prevailed over them to be the tribe that was chosen for the blessing so that the world could get the chief, the prince, the Messiah? Verse 2. But in Genesis 49:10, Jacob said on his deathbed that the scepter shall not depart from Judah. So that is the tribe. In Hebrews 7:14, the Bible says, it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Now, back to Revelation. Look at chapter 7 and verse 8. All right, and you will notice it says in verse 8, of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. All right, so Joseph had two sons. He had two sons. And you will notice here that Ephraim was of Joseph, not Jacob. He was of Joseph, not Jacob. As a matter of fact, Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And if you'll remember, because of Reuben's shenanigans with his father's concubine, he lost his inheritance, and a double portion was given to Joseph so that his boys would be recognized as a part of the tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. So Ephraim and Manasseh are traditionally each recognized as one of the 12 tribes. You say, well, what about, wouldn't that make 13? No, Levi, after they got in the land, Levi was not considered one of the 12 because his lot was to dwell among the whole nation. Levi was not given a specific part. You say, well, why? Well, because the Levites were the priest. And so they had to be in all sections of the land. So with Levi not considered one of the 12, Ephraim and Manasseh were given that privilege. So in this enumeration, Ephraim is called Joseph in verse 8, probably to stress the fact that all the tribes are united again. Now, if you look back and study Ezekiel 48, where we were a little while ago, you will see all 13 tribes with Dan, with Ephraim, with Manasseh, and with Levi. They're all listed in Ezekiel, and they'll all have their portion during the Lord's millennial kingdom. Got it? All right, so it's complicated, I know, but I don't know. It makes sense to me. I hope you get it. All right, one more. Go to John 1. John 1. I had cardiac rehab this morning. Oh, my goodness. They wore me out. I think they're trying to give me another heart attack or give me a heart attack. Mercy. I'm so sore, I can't hardly move. John 1, are you there? All right, look at verse 18. Verse 18. Okay, go back to verse 14. And the word, that's Jesus. Everybody understand that? That's Christ. It's capitalized. See it? He's personified Christ as the word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. What kind of glory was it, John? Well, it was the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath declared him. All right, now, look at chapter 6 of John, 6, and look at verse 46. All right, let's go back and get 45. It says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of the Father, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. All right? Now, question. How is it that verse 18 of chapter 1 says, no man has seen God at any time? And how is it that chapter 6, verse 46 says, no man has seen God at any time? And yet, all the way through the Old Testament scriptures, and I don't have time tonight to turn to a bunch of them, but there's oodles of them. Many times throughout the Old Testament scriptures, the Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto. And the Lord appeared unto. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, so on and so on and so on. If no man has seen God, when in the Old Testament the Lord appeared to these Old Testament saints, who did they see? And the answer is, they saw Jesus. They saw Christ. Let me remind you that God is spirit. You can't see a spirit. Right? Now, I'm not going to ask how many of you have seen spirits, because I don't want you raising your hand and embarrassing yourself. But I'm going to tell you right now, no, you haven't. I'm sorry, but you haven't. Oh, yes, no, you haven't. But no, you haven't. No, you haven't. Now, you might have seen something. All right, but it could have been that medicine you took before you went to bed. Or it could have been that pizza you ate before you went to bed. All right, but now come on, folks. You know, I just have not bitten into the spooks and, you know, the ghosts. Well, I watch Ghost Hunters. Sorry, I just don't go for all that hocus pocus stuff. I just don't. I don't think you ought to be doing it either. Just my opinion. All right? I'm trying to help you here. No man has seen God at any time. You say, well, who'd they see? They saw Jesus. It's called a Christophany. And you will notice here in 1:18 that the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he, the Son, hath declared him the Father. Plain simple. You see, you remember when Moses was up on the mountain and Moses kept saying, God, let me see you. And God said, Moses, You don't know what you're asking. You wouldn't be able to handle it. You couldn't stand it. You couldn't stand it. You wouldn't be able to stand it. It would kill you. No man has seen God at any time and lived. You wouldn't be able to handle it. And so God said, here's what I'll do. I'm going to walk by, and I'm going to take my hand, and I'm going to put it over your face. I'm going to stick you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to put you back in there, and then I'm going to put my hand over, and I'm going to walk by. And then when I get past, just before my glory is gone, I'm going to move my hand and let you see. And it's going to blow you away. And it did. And his face did shine. Remember that? And he came down off the mountain armed. He had an armload of God's word, whole armload of it, walking down the mountain, written by the hand of God himself. And when he came into the camp, the people were buzzing. They were running. Why? Why? Because his face did shine. His face scared them. And he went to preach. You know, remember that down there dancing around the golden calf? Remember that? And he went to preach to them and get on them for their stupidity, for their sin. And they said, wait a minute, Moses. They wouldn't even look at him. Put something over you. We can't even bear to look at you. Put something over you. And they put a veil over his face. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? If you could just see God, you'd be deader than a doornail in a minute. The magnificence of God would just blind you. Down you'd go. Well, then who did they see? They saw pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And folks, that's the amazing thing about that Old Testament. You go back and there he is. He's on every page. He's in every book. He's just there. And he keeps showing up. And with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Samuel and David and Solomon, and he just keeps showing up. Isaiah. He just keeps showing up. And then when you get to the New Testament, there he is in the flesh. God in the flesh. God in the flesh. God in the flesh. Wow. Wow. All right. Does that help you? Hope so. All right. Well, we're done. Well, we're not done, but we're finished. There's more. There's always more. All right, next week we'll pick up right there, okay?